Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
I'm Elizabeth Reese.
This is Best of the Nest, the podcast that's all about creating strong, comfortable, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. Got up this morning. What did I do? My skincare routine. It's Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. It is affordable, luxury skincare from friends. Proven for anti-aging results. Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. Use code NEST for an extra 20% off with 100% money back guarantee. Go to pourmoiskincare.com. That's P-O-U-R-M-O-I skincare.com. Just loving it. My skin is so soft. I can see the fine lines disappearing.
I know. It's the best. And here's a pro tip, you guys. You know I like to offer the pro tips with how to shop on these websites. So the code was BEST. Now it's NEST. Those are single use codes. So if you used the code BEST and then you were like, oh, I could only use it one time. That's true. But you can use the code NEST now. So we like to keep it fresh for you. I like to try to save you some cash money, honey, on these deals.
That's the name of a show right there. Cash Money, Honey.
It totally is. So Pour Moi is, of course, the presenting sponsor of our podcast, Best to the Nest. And this is our monthly watch, read, listen episode where we share what we're watching, reading, and listening to. It oftentimes says a lot about how we're doing in our lives based on what we're consuming. And
that's for sure.
But first, Marjorie and I were discussing, you know, a little behind the scenes, you know, discussing some new hardware for this podcast. We feel like as we approach our 400th episode, we might be deserving of some new microphones or something like that. And then Marjorie mentioned, oh my gosh, Gar, her son, who has a podcast, has this like tilt thing that he puts his laptop on so that it has like the camera shows him at a good angle. And I said, Marjorie, I use books to hold up my laptop. And we thought, before we get into what we're watching, reading, and listening to, we'll share which books our laptop sits on. Ready?
It is pretty funny because I do the same thing. We are clearly not concerned about our laptop being in the most flattering position. So we just use books, but I'm getting the stand. By the way, I would be remiss if I didn't do this. The podcast is Selling Circular. So please, you can check out Selling Circular. That is my son's podcast. You can find it wherever you get your favorite podcast. Okay, what books?
Good job, Marjorie. Okay, I have three books under my laptop. The first one is Staying Healthy with Nutrition. Did you know that I actually did go back to school at one point in my 20s to attempt a holistic nutrition degree? This was when I was living in Green Bay, and it was an online school. And this was like before online schools really had it down. And it was a college, I can't even remember the name of it now. Now, if I were to do that, I would go, there's like an Institute of Integrative Nutrition that I would want to go to. But this one was a small school. It ended up shutting down like during the middle of the program that I did. So I'm sure I lost some cash,
some money.
And it did not go well. But this was one of my textbooks, Staying Healthy with Nutrition. And it's a giant book. So it works great. I know. Isn't that a fun fact that I don't think I've ever shared?
I think that's been a lifelong pursuit then. That's so interesting that you were doing that in your 20s.
I know. I was in Green Bay, so I was probably 25.
Oh, that's great.
25. There's... And then also reflecting of my 20-something era is the book Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone by Deborah Madison. Great book. Now, listen, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. I was for 4 years. And I also, frankly, don't really recommend it based on my own experience and based on my research. But I do really love any of Deborah Madison's books. And then the other book that I have, another person who loves a vegetarian lifestyle, is Anthony William, the medical medium, and his book, Cleanse to Heal. Am I a psychopath? These are the books that are under my laptop. It also might mean that I don't read them that much because they are stationed under my laptop.
Exactly right. Okay, so here are mine.
Give it to me.
Eat Mesquite and More. Mm. It's a cookbook from the Southwest.
I like it.
This is old school, but Simple Abundance, A Daybook of Comfort and Joy by Sarah Bonn. I can't remember how you pronounce her name. Breathnack?
Okay.
This was a huge sensation on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Oh.
This is one of the books that Oprah loved. And actually, this copy was a gift from Oprah to me.
Oh my gosh.
Which is pretty cool. Simple Abundance. I may need to crack that one open again. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And then I have A Field Guide to American Houses, which was a gift from my son Campbell, because one of the things we love to do is walk and look at houses. And this helps me identify the period of the house and the architecture of the house. So it was a great gift. I love that book.
That's
what's holding up my computer. So okay. What are you watching this?
Okay, well, I just started watching a couple episodes of this. You know, I'm into all these things that I can watch with the kids too, because I essentially don't watch any TV without my children around at this point in my life. That's just the way that it is. But I started watching this show Queens on Disney Plus. Have you heard of this?
No.
So it is a nature show, and I love these like nature documentaries. It is all about the animal kingdom, but it focuses on the female leaders of the societies within the animals. So the first one is focused on lions and hyenas. The second one is focused on this particular monkey. Bonobos.
Which one is it?
Bonobos. Get concerned if I'm calling them monkeys or apes or what I'm doing, but I think I'll just go with bonobo. And their societal structure is so fascinating. It's so fascinating. Hyenas. I'm going to give you a fun fact about hyenas. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Hyenas are the only animal, the females are the only female mammal, let's go with.
Okay.
That has to allow consent in order to be mated with. She has to give consent in order to be mated with. Now, we all know if you're watching mating in the animal world, that often doesn't happen, right? The guys are just like, let's get after it. And she's pinned down and here we go. It's a whole production. There is this external sex organ that she has to retract in order to allow the male to mate with her. Wild.
Huh.
Kind of interesting when you're with your children, because you do have sort of like figure this out a little bit.
Yeah.
That being said, it's also kind of like
that's
a nice way to show them, to have them learn about like mating and reproduction without it being like all involving humans, you know? It's weird. Anyway, it's a very interesting show.
Is that on Disney Plus?
It's on Disney Plus. Angela Bassett is the narrator of it. And I will tell you, my only pseudo complaint about it is that the audio on Angela Bassett's very kind of like low toned, which I enjoy about her. She has a beautiful voice, but either she needed to punch it a little bit more or they needed to punch it up a little bit, because it becomes a little bit difficult just with the mixing of the audio, but that's very nitpicky.
But essential. I'm always amazed at places that shows that screw up audio. And I've screwed up audio on a show before too. So I'm not perfect, but it's like, that's one of those things that in like the final viewing, come on people.
Cause you know, when you're doing like a documentary, it's sort of like this, you know, like a car. I like the style. Right. I certainly like the style, but it feels like it can sometimes be a little bit difficult to understand, but each episode is about 50 minutes, six episodes. We have watched two of them. There's only one season out, but again, it's called Queens. It's on Disney Plus. Do you remember when Planet Earth came out and it was like, oh my gosh, there's been no more beautifully captured images of the world ever? It makes Planet Earth look like a grainy VHS from 1995. That is how good it is. It's so good. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by what is the documentary that everybody was talking about with the octopus, My Teacher, the Octopus, or what's, do you remember this?
I don't know, but I read a book featuring an octopus recently.
But the guy that shot that, like the video, I was more interested in how they got the video than the documentary itself.
Yeah.
Because it was just, you look at this stuff and I just don't understand how it's done.
Well,
really
that's
don't.
Why that other one, oh, and now I'm not going to help anyone. I'll have to find it and we can put it in the show notes. But there's another one on Disney Plus that features an Australian guy and his kind of adventures in capturing all of these, you know, these nature images. And they do a really cool job of showing the behind the scenes of how they do it. So they literally have a camera on him and then he's running the drone. And he's
see,
and
that's what I would love to see.
And they're they've got another Jeep showing how the Jeep with the cameras is like getting through all of the stuff. That one's very
super
cool
meta,
too.
Super meta, but okay.
I mean, like, how many Jeeps are we going to do? And then there's the Jeep that follows the Jeep, and then there's the Jeep following the other Jeeps.
Exactly. I am watching right now Will and Grace, which is on Amazon Prime. I just need something before I go to bed that's sort of happy and funny. And, you know, for me, it's a little bit nostalgic because I remember that first run. That was a show that was actually sort of appointment viewing for me when it started, gosh, I think in the early 2000s. But boy, the stars of that show, and I knew it at the time and I know it now, Sean Hayes and Megan Mullally, who played Jack and Karen. I mean, Sean Hayes is just brilliant. And I was reminded of that because of the Smartlist podcast doc, I think that was running on Apple. Did you ever end up watching that with Jay?
No, I haven't watched it, but I listened to Smartlist. And I am always so surprised by how many of their guests on Smartlist were guest stars on Will and Grace at one point. They had a ton of celebrities who would come in as guest stars.
Oh, that's funny. You have to watch the doc.
Yeah.
The doc is so great. And and I love behind the scenes stuff. So it's behind the scenes of them doing the Smartlist tour.
And then they're going to go behind the scenes of the behind the scenes.
Exactly. Okay. But that's what I'm watching. And it's wonderful. And if you didn't see it first run, you'd enjoy it. It was a breakthrough show because they addressed being gay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just, they would make jokes about being gay. And surprisingly, a lot of it holds up in the gentleness of the jokes. And so that easily could have been a show that in the climate now of sensitivity, which I believe in and I think it's great, a show like that could have really not held its own or would have been kind of an embarrassment, and it's not. I think it really holds up.
You know why I think it holds up, though? And I think the secret sauce is that everybody's in on the joke. You know, everybody is in on the joke, then the joke is funny. If the joke is meant to like alienate or humiliate, then it's not funny. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out the line if you know that that's the line.
And I do wonder, and I didn't do any research on this, but I do wonder if sort of if what I'm saying is actually true to the LGBTQ.
There's a lot of letters, and even they will acknowledge that.
If that's true within that community, or if they find, because it does rely, and I will, now that I'm thinking about it, it does rely on a lot of sort of cliches.
Yeah,
but I think
all sitcoms. I mean, it's like
I mean,
you have
I think
to sort of
to
like
that.
You have to be a little bit reductionist about characters if you're going to do 30 minutes. What I think is fun about going back and watching shows like that, though, Marjorie, that I love is that. You're right. If you watched it first run, though, you probably missed a lot of them because, like, even though it's appointment viewing, like, occasionally one has a meeting or something and they are unable to figure out their VCR timer. And so then they can't actually watch it. And so to get to watch it all in a row, I think is really fun. And, you know, we had Leslie Jordan on Twin Cities Live many times. And
did you really?
Oh my gosh. We loved him. Anytime he was in town, he would come on the show. He was just an absolute gem of a human. So fun. The same on TV that he was off TV. Just a joy to be around. And so, and of course, he passed away within the last year or so. So I just think it's really sweet.
Well, Leslie Jordan, as long as we're talking about him real quickly, toward the end of his life, he was doing some gospel singing.
Yeah, and he was doing one-man shows.
Oh, my God. So sweet. They would do like a Sunday session and he would post them on Instagram and his followers, I mean, it was a story at the time. His followers went from like zero to millions in no time. But if you, and his Instagram account is still up. If you don't know who we're talking about, just go to Instagram and search Leslie Jordan because those Sunday services were so beautiful. They really were. It was really,
great.
Really sweet. Yeah.
I got to watch those. That's really nice. Yeah. Okay, good.
You would really enjoy it.
Oh, and Will and Grace, you say, is on Amazon Prime, right?
Amazon Prime, yeah.
Okay, good. I always like to tell people where they can find things, and yep. I like to tell them how many minutes they're in for when it comes to the commitment that you're going to make to watch something.
22.
22 minutes.
Yep.
Okay, what are we reading? So I am going to plug my Twin Cities Live book club here because we just announced a new book. What is it? A book? And it's called Radar Girls by Sarah Ackerman. So I got to pick the book this time. If you're not familiar with how we operate our book club, it's Kelly Hansen, our reporter, and myself. And we have a really fun book club. We're now on, this is the fourth book that we've read together, and we're reading one every other month. So we're doing a book every 2 months. We alternate choosing. And what's fun about this book club is we have not read the books. We're literally just like researching what we think will be good, what we think we'll like. And then we all read it together. So when we have the conversation and we do a virtual Facebook Live talking about the book, that it's really a genuine, like, what did you think? Because it's genuinely like we all read it together versus like, you know, Reese's book club or Oprah's book club where they're loving the book and recommending it to you. So it's a fun twist. And I chose Radar Girls by Sarah Ackerman because I was just in Hawaii. And Sarah Ackerman was born and raised in Hawaii. And she writes all these really cool, from what I've understood, historical fiction books about women in World War II in Hawaii, particularly, you know, just post Pearl Harbor. And so this one is about these radar girls, and it's this particular military mission that these women were on. And I'm very excited to get into it. So I'm going to dig into that. So I'm just saying, you know, if you want a book club that's no pressure, that's really fun, we are reading Radar Girls by Sarah Ackerman, and we'll talk about it at the beginning of May. We'll do a Facebook Live and we'll all get to chit chat about it. And then, you know, Marjorie, I have to say what's been so fun is that the authors, I mean, she's a New York Times bestseller. She's a USA Today bestseller. I mean, she's written a ton of books. She's very, very well known. And I emailed, you know, I let the publishers know that we're going to do this.
Right.
And the authors are pumped. And because we can do Zoom interviews with them, you know, a lot of times authors were so limited because it's like, if you can't do a book tour and you're not coming, then we can't talk to them. But now every author has been so game for doing, they're like, tell us when we want to do a Zoom interview. And then now some of the authors that we've gotten to know are coming into town, particularly coming to Minneapolis because they've been featured in our book club. And then they want to come and do,
that's great,
you know, a signing, and they want to do an announcement for their next book. And so we're really building kind of this cool community with people and then also a cool community with the authors. I'm very excited about it.
That's actually really exciting. It's probably something you weren't necessarily thinking about when you started the book club, that it would grow in that way.
No.
But I think for writers, even if you're a New York Times bestselling writer, I can only imagine when you've spent that amount of time writing a book, you're just so thrilled that somebody's actually reading it.
There's
and
a lot of competition.
It.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So I'm reading right now. Well, actually, I finished it last month. Aster by Anderson Cooper. Mm. So are you clued into these books? He wrote Vanderbilt first, which was actually a deep dive into his own family of great privilege. He's the son of Gloria Vanderbilt, and she was the daughter of great-great-granddaughter of Commodore Vanderbilt, who built the empire, the Vanderbilt Empire. So he wrote that about his own family's history. He was curious about it. At an early age, he had decided that he was going to favor his father's side of life as opposed to his mother's. And so he said, I never counted. He said, my mother spent all of the money. The money was all gone. But he said, my father just came from a hardworking family in Mississippi. And so he said, early on, I realized that world made a lot more sense to me, but he still wanted to understand the Vanderbilt legacy, which he's still very much a part of. And he said he wrote it for he's got two boys now. But then they went on to write about the Astor family. And I wish I had read Vanderbilt first, because I think I think it would be more I think that would have been interesting. But if you care about things like this and you care about sort of American history and these great fortunes that were built in the 18th and early 19th century, it's beautifully done. I mean, it's interesting. It's well-researched. He has a co-writer, but it's called Astor. And I listened to it actually on Audible. So yeah. Anderson Cooper, he narrates it. So
I was just going to say, I bet that's a good one to listen to.
It is. It's a great one to listen to.
He does such a good job.
He does a good job. So
she spent all the money.
She was, you know, that's the one thing that I've learned in watching interviews with him is she was just like a sprite. You know, she was just like this fairy-like character who just delighted in life, even though the tragedies that have hit that family, which I'll talk about in my listen, she was able to overcome them. But like a lot of people who grow up with a lot of money, they don't necessarily think it'll ever go away. It's mm-hmm. always been there. And so there's a different psychology, I think, to how somebody who has such massive wealth actually blows through it. And that was sort of his point, is like, these fortunes aren't forever. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, very interesting.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. So my listen, as we shift into that, is actually a book too, because I listened to this book on Audible and I kept seeing this book at different bookstores that I was popping into, including when I was in Manhattan, Kansas, and I went into that cute bookstore, that used bookstore in your little campus neighborhood in Aggieville right. that I thought was so darling. And I'm forgetting the name of the bookstore, but it was very cute.
I should remember the name of it, but I don't because I'm there all the time.
I can picture it, and it has coffee, yep. and the coffee was lovely, and I really liked their bookstore merch. I thought they did a really good job. I was like, if I was going to get a little glassware, I would get it here. It's very cute.
Yeah, it's sweet.
But this book just keeps popping up, so every bookstore I've been in or where I keep seeing it, and then I had an Audible credit, so I decided to listen to it, but it's called Northwoods. And it is by Daniel Mason. Have you seen this? I'm going to show you the cover here. And it's got like a cat, like a wild cat sitting.
Oh, no, I haven't.
If you go into your little bookstore, it's there. And I almost bought it but I had already downloaded it. And I thought, okay, right. this is my sign. And so I started listening to it when I was on the trip in Manhattan to see you. And what's so interesting about it is, so I feel like part of me, I would have liked to read it more than I listened to it, even though the audio performance was outstanding. But just right. because knowing myself, sometimes when I'm listening to books, I get like obsessed with finishing it. And so I just kind of like hurry myself along. And I think I would have savored right. a little bit more had I read it. So I like to give people the option of what to do there. And then, but it's about this plot of land in Massachusetts. And it goes back all the way to when the Native Americans lived on this land and what happened when the white man came. But it's very hyper specific about just this one plot of land and then the people who end up coming through it and this little yellow house that's on the land.
Oh, and I love this.
It is a novel unlike any novel I have ever read. It is almost becomes like a collection of short stories with just the land being the thread, because some of them you're sort of figuring out like, wait, how is this really connected? Like, how is this right. person going to end up being connected? There's no formula for how each story is told. And it probably goes through like 8 generations of people.
This is great.
It's a lot. I really think like just you sitting out on your little deck with like a fire or whatever and a cup of tea, right. I can totally imagine you just becoming completely just riveted by this book. And everywhere I've read, it's like, this is the best, like the New York Times is like, this is absolutely the best book. This is the best.
And this is fiction.
And it's fiction. It's a novel. Yep. Again, it's set in Western Massachusetts. And even the animals become characters and even the plants. Huh. And I was reading reviews from people who, several people who said like, I'm a botanist and I hate when people who aren't botanists, you know, botanists apparently are a little Snooty McSnooterson, who knew, but they were like, I hate when people who aren't botanists try to describe the flora and the fauna because they always do it wrong. And they were like, this author got every single detail right. And then what's so interesting is like, there's no formula to the pacing either. So some of the stories are really long. Some of them are really short. Some of the descriptions are really long. Some are really short. So you're just kind of like along for the ride the whole time. It's a fascinating book.
I can see why you're saying, though, you would have preferred to have read it, because those sort of choices that the author is making have much more power on the page than they would in audio. Because the audio will just sort of flow over you. But to see those natural breaks, I can imagine that would be more powerful. Actually, I'll go pick it up.
Yeah.
I have so many credits at that little bookstore. So.
You do? Oh, good. So this, let me just read you before we move on one little, this is NPR's review of it. Okay. And they say Northwoods manages impressively to balance both the narrow and the long view, intimately focusing on the lives of each of the house's inhabitants, yet expansively encompassing American history, natural history, and the relentless march of time and the cycle of the seasons. It really, and so this is why I think I was so attracted to it. And now that I'm like, I'm describing it to you, and then I read that line from NPR and think like, oh yeah, this is the track that I'm on. It's also because of my never-ending fascination, you know, with having this understanding that your life is so significant and that you matter and that you are important, while also at the same time understanding that you are totally insignificant in the whole scheme of things. And that those two things being true at the same time is this amazing thing about life that I love.
And how do you hold that in your head at the same time?
It's
real
tricky.
Both of those things are true. You know, when you talk about the march of time, you know what I think of? I think of skincare.
Because time is marching on and it shows on our skin.
It does.
Very well done, Marjorie. We want to stop for just one second before we get to what Marjorie's listened to and give a thank you to our presenting sponsor of Best to the Nest, which is Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. You can use that code NEST, as we mentioned. You'll get 20% off your order at pourmoiskincare.com. And remember, there's a 100% money-back guarantee. And this is the time to get your skincare all set up. People always ask, okay, is it difficult or complicated to use? And the answer is no, because it's a three-step system: hydrating balancer, serum, and then a cream. In the day, you use a day cream. In the night, you use a night cream. And the only thing that you're switching out is based on the weather and then based on the season. But the subscription program, if I can just give them a little shout out, that really makes it totally foolproof. I mean, listen, I have my water purifier refills on subscription. I've got all sorts of stuff on subscription because then I don't have to think about it and it just shows up.
I think that's wonderful. My sister did the subscription program.
And yes.
So
and then she's
very
set.
Simple, very simple, very simple. Okay. I am listening to, it's Anderson Cooper all the time in this house. I mentioned this in December and my husband was very sick in December, which is why I started to listen to Anderson Cooper's podcast, All There Is. And it's a podcast on grief. And I started re-listening to it. And last night, so season two is out. I started listening to the season two finale. Anderson Cooper did something really smart where he threw out a phone line and just said, call in and tell me about, you know, the person that you lost. Tell me about your grief, which is wonderful because his whole point about grief is you're not alone. You are not alone. And so this sort of is the audio version of proving you're not alone and opening sort of the phone line so people could tell their stories after he so beautifully told his and then in the interviews is telling other people's story as well. But so I went to go listen to the finale and I'll be honest, I couldn't. It opens with this really great audio recording of his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, who is just so charming. I mean, she's just, you want to say she's kind of daffy, but she's not. She's like brilliantly wise in all the things I've heard her say, but unconnected to the drudgery of life.
Yeah.
So she just has this like lightness to her. So he opens with this message that she had made for Anderson 4 years before she died, just about lightness and darkness, and that life is really about the rainbows that show up, that there'll always be rainbows. And it's just very sweet. So I'm sort of chiming with that before I go to sleep. And then he went to the calls, you know, people had the recorded audio of people who had called in to share their stories. And the first woman had lost her son to a brain tumor when he was 25.
Wow.
And she said, and his name was Ian. And I was like, oops, I'm out. I can't share this grief right now. So I'm out. But I think there'll be a time where that will be very helpful to me to hear other people's stories. Although I am acutely aware that I am not alone, that suffering is universal. And I'm trying very hard not to be sort of narcissistic about my own grief, because grieving is sorrow and sadness is not unique to me. But that having been said, so instead I went and listened to season one, where he interviewed Stephen Colbert. And if you haven't heard that, that podcast came about because Anderson had done an interview with Stephen Colbert right after he had lost his mother. Mm. And in the CBS interview, Anderson just starts crying because Stephen Colbert starts talking about the loss of his father and his two older brothers when he was 10. So yeah. Stephen Colbert lost his father and his two older brothers in a plane crash. And Anderson Cooper lost his father when he was 10. And so it was just really, there was such a sort of deep connection in their grief in that moment. And then one of the things that Stephen Colbert said to him at the time, which is why Anderson had him back on the podcast, which is that Stephen Colbert said, "I have learned to love the thing that I most wanted not to happen. I've learned to love it." And Anderson Cooper was just saying he just kept chewing on that. Like he couldn't quite, like, how do you get there?
Yeah.
How do you get there? And so the discussion of that question is in the podcast. And it's whether you're experiencing loss right now or not, or grief or not. It's just a really beautiful conversation. And that's in season one of All There Is. That's Anderson Cooper's podcast on grief. And you can find it anywhere. Just Google it. But it was a good thing to listen to again last night. So
yeah,
it's helpful. It's helpful.
Oh, that's good. See, I love this watch, read, listen. It's really,
I do too.
Quite fun. You just get to know so much. It's so much more about, it's not just about like, oh, what are you kind of taking in? But it's about the place that you're in and how it's impacting you and what you're learning from it. So very good stuff. If you are enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a review at Apple Podcasts. You can even tell us what books are under your laptop. I'm very intrigued.
I love that idea. I love that idea. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Best of the Nest. We are the podcast that brings you home.